Do the dead collect the dying to ease the transition between worlds? Up next, we'll be discussing the deathbed phenomena. Stay tuned, little Stardusties.
Sometimes things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre. This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Hey, y'all, little Stardusties. This is your Circus of the Undead. Space Cowboy, Interstellar Soothsayer, Enthusiast of the Strange and Extraordinary, and the real reason your cat is nervously staring into an empty corner. I am Exy, the Relentless, because I don't relent. And always, a quick reminder, the point of this podcast is not to convince anyone that any of this is real, as life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. Our goal is to present information for you to formulate your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. We love skeptics, too. Make up your own mind, folks. This is just a podcast. Welcome. Welcome, one and all! For the very 13th episode of
Star Queen Paranormal.
Star Queen Paranormal. And before I pretend like I have anything important to say, let me tell you some stuff about the number 13th. Traditionally considered an unlucky number, 13 is the death card in the tarot deck. Once considered a holy number by some, 13 is also viewed as unlucky by many cultures across the globe. The end of the Mayan calendar's 13th Baktun was superstitiously feared as the harbinger of the apocalyptic 2012 phenomenon. Some Christians believe that 13 is an unlucky number because at the Last Supper there were 13 in attendance. Christ and his 12 apostles. The 13th person to sit at the table was Judas Iscariot, betrayer of Jesus. Friday, October 13th, 1307, King Philip IV of France ordered the arrest of the Knights Templar, most of whom were tortured and killed, which is why Friday the 13th is considered unlucky. In some ancient cultures, the number 13 represented femininity, which of course meant it was unlucky in an ancient patriarchal society. But 13 isn't all bad! Prior to the First World War, France used 13 as a numerical form of good luck and would post the symbols on postcards and charms. In Italy, the saying, fare tredici, literally translates to make 13, which means hit the jackpot. If you are betting in a football pool, a baker's dozen is 13. The 13th loaf being called the Vantage Loaf because it is considered advantageous overall to get 13 loaves for the price of 12. But whether you consider it a lucky number or a not so lucky number, just remember, little Stardusties, that you are more powerful than whatever meaning you attribute to symbols. And that is my random stuff on the number 13. But can you believe I've done 13 episodes of this? And that you've sat through 13 episodes? I'm really proud of you kiddos for sticking with me this whole time. Bearing witness to my descent into madness. Speaking of madness, if I edit on a proper schedule, this episode will air, I believe, August 19th. And August 17th is the day, it's the anniversary that my first son passed away. We call it Max Day, because his name is Max. So today's episode will be covering the deathbed phenomena, because I wanted something a little more comforting and cheerful that pertained to death for this episode. However, if you are sensitive to causes of death or mentions of previously deceased people, especially children, I'll give you a warning before I start to read the main part of the episode. Because it was hard to write today's episode. I'm not really... Usually the muse runs deep within me, but I had to stop a lot to write this episode. I don't really think it's a sad episode. I think the majority of the things I've picked were positive. It's just hard for me to read about death, to hear about death, to see videos about death. Even the happier, more comforting stories about death. So I will definitely let you know before I read the main story today. But I think having awareness of this particular phenomena, the deathbed visions, deathbed phenomena, whatever you want to call it, I think it's important to know. And maybe somebody listening out there somewhere will take comfort, or it will resonate with a story they may have about their deceased loved ones. I'm hoping this episode reaches the right people. But something within me felt called to make this particular episode for this particular week something comforting about death. So whether you're strapping in for a ride of me processing my trauma, or you genuinely need to hear about the deathbed phenomena, I appreciate you, Stardusties. All of you. And I hope wherever you are in life, you're someplace where you can tell people you love that you appreciate them too. That's your homework for tonight, kids. Tell your humans you love them. No, seriously, tell people you love them. Because my son wasn't old enough to understand that when I said it to him. So tell people often. Make sure they understand. Anyway, let me summon that last little bit of serotonin and apologize, because I did not mean to be a bummer. I didn't mean to bring you down, man! It's time for Terrible Tarot! Oh! For my new Stardusties out there, the name of this segment is called Terrible Tarot. Now, why is it so terrible, you may ask? Well, you wouldn't pay me for this reading. I interpret them pretty terribly. However, on Patreon, I read them not so terribly. It's a not so terrible tarot. And I'm just going to pull three cards from my plain Rider-Waite deck and tell you how it goes. Gaze deeply into the void. Well, I gaze deeply into the cards. You've got the Four of Cups, the Justice card, and the Fool. And to whoever this card reading resonates with, it seems that you've been kind of waiting and ignoring signs from the universe, or perhaps refusing help in a situation in life. However, the scales are starting to tip in your favor, maybe even legally, as the Justice card is sometimes a legal card. Legal dealings, custody, divorce, lawsuits. But what I'm seeing is that as soon as things kind of balance out for you in your life, you'll be ready to set foot on your new adventure. And that was pretty terrible, which is the point. Today's quote from whatever I feel like quoting: to die will be an awfully big adventure. And that was by J.M. Barrie in Peter Pan. In today's bizarre headlines, this article is from July 13th, 2022, Fox, Oklahoma. An Oklahoma man killed his friend because he was afraid the victim would feed him to Bigfoot. According to Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, Larry Doyle Sanders, age 53, was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. He believed that the victim, Jimmy Knighton, had summoned Bigfoot to kill him while they were out noodling, which is a form of fishing with your bare hands. Some kind of confrontation broke out, and Jimmy's body had been discovered in the river the next day, apparently beaten and strangled. A special agent for the state law enforcement agency wrote that Sanders told him that he discovered at the river that Knighton intended to feed him to Sasquatch/Bigfoot, according to an affidavit obtained by the Oklahoman. Larry advised that he believed the victim was trying to get away from him so that the Sasquatch could eat Larry. The agent reportedly wrote in the report, "Larry would not let Jimmy get away. Larry punched Jimmy and struck Jimmy with a stick. Larry and Jimmy fought for an extended amount of time on the ground." And as of this recording, Mr. Sanders remains in the county jail. Today's listener-submitted story is from someone who wished to remain anonymous. Our anonymous Stardusty writes, "My mother died when I was 12, and my sister was 18. My sister and mother were best of friends. My sister never did anything without my mother. When she died, my sister was devastated. Years later, I found my sister's journal. In it, she had wrote, 'I woke up in the middle of the night, right after Mom died, and she was standing at the foot of my bed. She was smiling and telling me she was okay and no longer in pain from the cancer. She was in a better place. A wonderful place.' Thank you to my anonymous Stardusty. I'm very sorry for your loss. But I think it's beautiful when people have stories of their loved ones reaching out. If you have a story you'd like to submit, please write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com or Facebook message us. I know at least I feel a sense of comfort when I read stories such as this one. The boogeyman is here from under my bed. He needs help tying his boogie shoes. Be right back, little Stardusties.
Hey! Welcome to Shamblefest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
We're back from break, little Stardusties. Now is the time I invite anyone who needed the trigger warning about death to go ahead and skip to the next episode if it's available. Skip to the previous episode because it was cool. Or any of the other episodes that may exist when this episode finds you. So I'll ask again. Do the dead fetch the dying on their way out the door? According to a study published in March 2010 by April Mazzarino Willett, deathbed visions, or deathbed phenomena, are visions of past deceased relatives or friends, religious figures, and visionary language pertaining to travel. Language such as, I'm leaving, I'm traveling, moving, taking a test, or I'm waiting in line, but I don't know what I'm waiting for, are just a few phrases that are common when somebody begins to experience the deathbed phenomena. Deathbed visions have been recorded since ancient times across multiple cultures. They're even mentioned in the Bible and in Plato's Republic. It's such a common phenomena, in fact, that it's even described in literature handed out by many hospice nurses to prepare the patients and their families for the stages of death their loved ones may encounter. In the 1950s through the 1970s, parapsychologists Carlos Osis and Erlander Haraldson conducted a study that interviewed tens of thousands of medical personnel, mostly doctors and nurses, from both India and the United States. They found that 50% of the studied individuals experienced deathbed visions, or what they believed were deathbed visions. They also found that in the United States, it was more common for dying persons to say they were seeing deceased relatives. But in India, it was more common for dying persons to perceive religious figures. And the level of comfort or terror perceived from these religious deathbed visions depended on the morality or the perceived morality of the person who was dying. Hindu patients would often report seeing a Yamdut, which is supposed to be a messenger from Lord Yama, the god of the dead. And these Yamdut would be seen at the foot of their beds. And according to these studies, if a person was considered to have lived a life full of sin, the Yamdut would appear in terrifying forms. The studies from Osis and Haraldsson are often questioned by skeptics because the deathbed visions would come from doctors and nurses and not the patient themselves. And since it's secondhand information, a lot of people don't consider it real research. Another study found that when there were deathbed visions, it was associated with more peaceful deaths. A study by a Dr. Christopher Kerr said that he collected data from 1,400 patients and said 80% of his patients had deathbed visions. And he noted that when children were experiencing deathbed visions, because they hadn't known very many people who had passed before them, they would often be visited by their pets. So what are some of the more common traits of a deathbed vision? Deathbed visions can start months in advance. It often starts with a patient staring into the corner of their room. Their rooms may feel like a sacred space to nurses and doctors. The dying will reach out with one or both arms. The patients often use symbolic language pertaining to travel or waiting. The patients experiencing the visioning seem lucid. It's often described as not like a regular hallucination. Some people with previously known mental impairments will miraculously recover their cognitive functions and be more lucid just before death. And any sense of fear the patients may have had prior to their visioning seems to vanish. In an interview, Dr. Kevin Dieter is quoted as saying, "It's almost like somebody pulled the curtain, and no matter what their fears or doubts were before that, they will tell us things and describe things that are very beautiful. All of a sudden, it's wonderful and okay." According to Roger K. Siegel, noted psychopharmacologist and researcher, this phenomena is a lot like drug-induced hallucinations, and he suggests that it could be due to cerebral hypoxia, confusion, delirium, body systems failing, or a mental reaction to death. In some of the more curious cases, the dying patient will see people they had not known had died before them. In a video posted by Soul Academy, there was a case in which a son had died. The family had not told their mother, as she was in hospice care and in her final days as well, and they didn't want to make her transition into the next life more painful than it had to be. And they weren't even quite sure she would understand if they did tell her. When she started visioning, that was the son she described seeing. And the following excerpt is from Sir William Barrett's book, Deathbed Visions. "There were two little girls, Jenny and Edith, one about 8 years of age and the other but a little older. They were schoolmates and intimate friends. In June 1889, both were taken ill of diphtheria. At noon on Wednesday, Jenny died. Then the parents of Edith and her physician as well took particular pains to keep from her the fact that her little playmate was gone. They feared the effect of the knowledge on her own condition. To prove that they succeeded and that she did not know, it may be mentioned that on Saturday, June 8th, at noon, just before she became unconscious of all that was passing about her, she selected two photographs to be sent to Jenny, and also told her attendants to bid her goodbye. She died at 6:30 on the Saturday, June 8th. She had roused and bidden her friends goodbye and was talking of dying and seemed to have no fear. She appeared to see one and another of the friends she knew were dead, So far, it was like other similar cases. But now, suddenly, and with every appearance of surprise, she turned to her father and exclaimed, "Why, Papa, I'm going to take Jenny with me." Then she added, "Why, Papa, you did not tell me Jenny was here." And immediately she reached out her arms as if in welcome and said, "Oh, Jenny, I'm so glad you're here." And even though the deathbed visions are more commonly reported by the patient who is dying, it's not always the patient who has the visions. This case is from the same book. In one case, two women watching by their dying sister, Charlotte, saw a bright light, and within it, two young faces hovering over the bed, gazing intently at Charlotte. The elder sister recognized those faces as being two of her brothers, William and John, who had died when she was young. The two sisters continued to watch the faces till they gradually faded away, a washed-out picture. And shortly afterwards, their sister Charlotte died. Dr. Christopher Kerr discusses deathbed visions in one of his TEDx talks, and he described the case of a patient he was fond of named Mary. In April 1999, Mary was starting to vision, and she was surrounded by her four children. Mary started to cradle a baby that nobody could see, and she was cuddling him and calling him Danny, a name none of the children knew. When Mary's sister arrived from out of town, she explained that Danny was Mary's firstborn child, who was born stillborn, before the other four children had been born. The loss was so profound, she never told her other children about him. And a TikTok user by the name Brazilian_RN, from a post dated November 25th, 2021, describes a beautiful story about a young hospice patient dying of lung cancer. The older sister was caring for her and tending to her younger sister in her last few days. This patient spent much of her time unconscious. One day, all of a sudden, the patient woke up smiling, calling for their mother. She turned to her sister and said, "Wow, you never told me how beautiful mother was. Don't you worry about me. Our mom said that I would be okay, and I'll be safe with her soon." She passed away a few hours later. Later, the older sister pulled the nurse aside and confided that the younger sister had been an infant when their mother passed away. There are just so many beautiful stories on the deathbed visions, deathbed phenomena out there, that it was hard to pick even this handful. So I encourage anyone who's interested to check out the book Deathbed Visions by Sir William Barrett. Look up Dr. Christopher Kerr's TEDx talk, "I See Dead People, Dreams and Visions of the Dying." Check out this little booklet called Gone From My Sight by Barbara Carnes, which is a resource used by many caregivers and hospice nurses to help families and their patients prepare for the end stages of life. And it has a section that includes deathbed visions. And I didn't use her as a resource, but there is a TikTok nurse who has a lot of good stories and comforting words on the deathbed phenomena. Her TikTok name is Hospice Nurse Penny. I believe there's also another video out there by Hospice Nurse Julie. There's a lot of resources, and I encourage you to look into them if this is something that interests you, or if this is something you may have experienced with one of your loved ones. So, what do you believe, little Stardusties? Do you believe that we are ushered into the next life by our loved ones? Or do you believe our brains release panicked chemicals to help us cope with our failing bodies? Do you have your own deathbed story to tell? Or perhaps some other paranormal story you'd like for us to share? Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram. Or donate to us at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. So, Stardusties, remember that as long as you keep the memories alive in your heart, your loved ones are never truly gone. They live on within you. always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. And remember, the reason we grieve is because we loved.